Planeta Bolilor Rare.
Last Friday was a big day for air diseases at a global level. The NGO Committee for Air Diseases launched at the United Nations headquarters in New York. More about this committee. The NGO Committee for Air Disease was initiated by the Center Agrenska and Eurordis with a view of bringing greater political recognition of the challenges of rare diseases at the global level. It will work to ensure rare diseases receive recognition and attention at the UN level, where they remain an area little explored. The NGO Committee for Rare Diseases is a substantive part committee established under the umbrella of the Conference of NGOs in consultative relationship with the United Nations. Its formation was approved by a veto of 28 Congo member organizations in April 2014, and inception meeting as a substantive committee within Congo took place in October 2015 in New York. The NGO Committee for Rare Diseases is a multi-stakeholder, inclusive, global ecosystem focused on rare diseases, which aims to increase visibility of rare diseases at the global level, to extend and share knowledge about rare diseases and their unmet needs, to connect NGOs interested in rare diseases and their partners within a global platform, to promote international multi-stakeholders, collaboration and actions for rare diseases, to align rare diseases as a global priority in public health, research and medical and social care policies. I'm inviting you to listen to some of the opinions expressed during the event at the United Nations.
We have met years and years and years, and we are still as young. And you are really the president of Eurordis today and has done and doing a lot of fantastic work within Europe. It's a part of the globe, if you wonder where it is. Please, Terkel.
Well, I have to admit that being invited to speak in the historic section makes you feel a little bit old. But after having listened to you, Abby, I dare say that old age is absolutely no barrier to being active, to participate, to contribute, I hope.
I can't forget that AIDS was a rare disease when it started, and the first two drugs for AIDS that got on the market were orphan drugs, and they would not have reached the market because AIDS was too rare. Nobody wanted to develop it, but because of the Orphan Drug Act, they were developed. Also, polio, which we have vaccines against polio, which is so rare, it's practically non-existent. I think we get a few cases in some African countries, some Asian countries every year. Polio is a rare disease today because there's no medicine for these children who come down with polio. But they do come down with polio. Leprosy. Leprosy is a rare disease in the United States. It was designated in the United States. It's one of the most common diseases outside of the United States. But I have to explain to you that one of the first orphan drugs that was developed was thalidomide for leprosy. And it got on the market here, and they realized it worked by one of the blood cancers. So we have thalidomide here. Of course, if you're pregnant, you don't take it, but it keeps you alive if you have one of these very rare cancers. And of course, it helps with leprosy. Now, the problems are the cost disparities. This man who was just talking in this film, the drug that treats his disease in the United States costs $500,000 a year. This is not a cure that he takes once. It's a treatment that he has to take $500,000 per year. And it's unrealistic to think that there are countries or health systems that can afford to do that for lots and lots of people. If they were guaranteed only one or two or five people in their country would need this, I can understand it. But they're not. It's going to be several hundred people in each country. And the difference between the national health programs and pharmaceutical policies, that's a big issue. What we get here in the United States, you may not get in Spain or Greece or certainly in some of the Asian and African countries. And there needs to be special distribution networks because the importation barriers in some countries are extraordinary. You can get the drug in. A doctor from Singapore can pick up the phone and call a doctor in a hospital here who will put the orphan drug into an envelope and mail it to him. But then it'll sit there in customs in that country for 3 or 4 weeks. And the patient's dead by that time. So we have to work on these importation issues. And the other issue and the next steps is to ensure that patients have these treatments. We need to continue to encourage the engine of scientific discovery. That's the most important thing.
Sometimes, even when we haven't seen each other for a little while, the reality of life with rare diseases can be powerfully demonstrated. Conditions continue their progress while we're not looking, so to speak. We too often learn of a loss or a severe health trauma that has occurred in the time that we haven't seen each other. And we realize, as I always say, rare diseases don't take a vacation. They don't stop affecting people because you haven't seen them for a while. While we are dealing with our own reality of living with a rare disease and our immediate regional and national communities, so too are others across the sea, across borders, across continents. They face the same realities, the same enormity in their lives, and this never ever is taken for granted, nor should it ever be. It is this collective reality that motivates us to fight harder for positive change for this whole community. And as a global community, we draw on each other's energy every day by connecting across disease areas, across these borders, be they cultural, linguistic, tangible borders. And the willingness to do this is authentic, it's necessary, and it's to be supported and respected. And so this is what brings us here today. And I'm so, so grateful for all of the work that's been done to lead us here. It's really fantastic. So back to Europe. And in Europe, which I represent, I want to take you through some of the policy endeavours that we have been working on that Turkel has already alluded to. So slide two. The European patient movement was forged from necessity to reach out beyond borders because of the nature of the conditions we lived with, small, often isolated populations. The mission of Eurordis, the European Patient Forum, and the organisations that they represent is to be a voice for people living with rare diseases throughout Europe. But not just in the EU, it must be said, the 48 countries within Europe. Over two decades, the community of rare diseases advocates in Europe have really strived to convince all relevant civil and political institutions that working together across European and international borders is a win-win situation. This didn't happen overnight and required all the resources at our disposal, the human capital of rare diseases community as a whole. The patients, the representatives, the clinicians, the researchers, the policy makers, and industry representatives. We have achieved much in working together, and this is notable as a major policy achievement, and I suppose the very first in our community was the adoption of the EU regulation on orphan medicinal products.
Story from Abinal of how the Orphan Drugs Act in the United States came around, and by that, how the concept was actually put into legislation and by that recognized and acknowledged by all stakeholders in this country. It is less well known that almost at the same time a movement came up in parts of Europe focusing on the societal effects of rare diseases. My home country is Denmark. Denmark is part of Scandinavia. And the Scandinavian, the Nordic countries, in fact, came together and decided to try to map what the consequences of rare diseases are on people's lives, not only to focus on the need for medical advancement, the access to cures or therapies, but actually to see how the decentralized healthcare systems and societal coverage systems could better adapt to the problems that people with rare diseases face. I hope someone will run the slides. Representatives of small patient organizations came together with pioneering doctors and geneticists to define and map the issues that would call for a focused societal effort to reduce the extra difficulties linked to the rarity of the disease. At that time, only few professionals had sufficient knowledge of rare diseases and the impact on individuals and the impact on their families. And this was leading to significant, often multi-annual delays in receiving a proper diagnosis. This quite frequently preceded by misdiagnosis as well as irrelevant and sometimes even harmful interventions. In particular, many rare diseases were met with misunderstanding and societal discrimination, adding to the burden of living with the disease. Support, when at all provided, would normally be uncoordinated, as we've heard from Anders Olausson, leaving families with the extra task to make many different systems work together. I make this sound as a history of the past. We have come quite a long way, I'd say, in Europe. But the truth is, unfortunately, that even in Europe, and certainly in most parts of the world, this is very much still the facts of everyday life of people with rare diseases. Today, we have little excuse not to do better. For those living around the globe with rare diseases, as much as for us in Europe. The rare disease community at large should benefit from a powerful combination of advances made possible through new knowledge, new technologies, and higher professional commitment. Through the Orphanet and other web services from institutions or patient organizations, a proper diagnosis can be made for most rare diseases thanks to genetic tests or biochemical tests, and sometimes just by using the experienced doctor's eye available in clinical networks. Gene technology and information technology have enabled experts to improve classification and codification so to make rare diseases more visible in the healthcare systems. More diseases will have access to a therapy due to large investments in research and drug development, and we do benefit from the growing awareness that rare diseases are rare, but that rare diseases patients are many and counted in millions on every continent of the planet. We would not have come this far without the solidarity and vision set up by patients and families themselves, as very much exemplified by Abby Myers and her efforts to do better for rare disease patients in the US.
And before we start, I will give you a few words of introduction on this session on a call for global action coming from civil society. And I'd like to say yes to Mr. Navid Hanef, and Mr. Cyril Ritchie, yes, the call for action for at the global level for rare disease does come from the civil society. And the patient organization advocating on behalf of patients and families, and the foundations also in some countries offering services for people living with rare disease, are non-governmental organizations emerging from the civil society. So the functions of these patient groups that we will hear in the next session are to break isolation, to provide information in order to enhance the autonomy of patients and to enable them to make their own decision, is to promote better diagnosis and care. We heard about the maze of access to diagnosis and the need for healthcare pathways. They also promote scientific research and knowledge generation either by fundraising and funding research or in other ways. And also they promote better services and in social policies, and they raise awareness of decision makers. Now, what's really their role behind all these functions? The role of the Rare Disease Patients Organization is to transform the individual tragedies of young boys, young girls, parents, relatives into a collective action. They enhance the extraordinary resilience of patients and family, they foster the social integration, as Tekel highlighted, and they shape the values and give life to these values of benevolence, of social justice, of equity. They are an authentic voice to call for policy actions. They are often the creative brain in order to promote policies and to partner with stakeholders to implement them. We are focused on real change. we're beating the drums of actions, but we have a beating heart to keep focused and remind everyone to keep focused on patients first, the GPS that was mentioned by Navid a moment ago. Now, what are the trends in these patient groups before we hear them? Patients' organizations are fast growing in numbers. Patient groups are being created on progressively a growing number of rare diseases in a growing number of countries, covering more rare disease at the end and more countries. And they are growing also in capacities, in terms of human capacities, mostly volunteers, very few, in fact, staff people around the world. And they're growing also in financial resources, mostly through their own fundraising. So not much public support in general. And they're gaining strength thanks to their networking at local, national, and international level. As highlighted by Terkel Anderson and Abby Myers this morning, the huge advancements of science provides huge opportunities of new treatments. The causative gene defects or other etiology of communicable or non-communicable rare diseases, but also the growing activism of social society and the internet technology and the inspiration of pioneering rare disease patient groups, several in this room, are providing a global dynamic which is composed of these mushrooming grassroots communities connecting together into networks, national networks, which are the national alliances for rare diseases, and international networks, which are the international federations of disease-specific groups. And all together, they are coming together to create Rare Disease International.
Now, I'm really honored to be here today to represent the European organizations who are working in the area of rare diseases. I am myself a person who's living with the rare disease retinitis pigmentosa, which affects collectively inherited retinal degenerations, affect about 10 million people globally. And we're very excited to be members of Rare Diseases International. I'm also here representing the Irish National Alliance, the Genetic and Rare Disorders Organization. So I have to do a whistle-stop tour of our policy developments in Europe. I just want to say, though, that today provides such a fantastic platform for all of us to get together to discuss what is a very rapidly evolving and particularly dynamic area of healthcare and health innovation across all regions. And events like this provide us with opportunities to discuss developments and see what's going on in the different regions and how we can collaborate together. But I do want to say, and it's been alluded to earlier, that when you work as an advocate in the rare disease space,
the internal team at Agranska and Eurordis that has brought this committee to fruition, Anders Olausson, Jan LeCun, and Jean Leroux, leading the project, Jenny Steele, former Junior Public Affairs Manager at Eurordis, Clara Hervas, Eurordis Junior Public Affairs Manager, Anja Helm with her support of the launch event, Jan-Marc Sveier, Eurordis Webmaster, Joni and Jake, Eurordis Communication Interns with their work on the website, and Anders in the team supporting communication and logistics. They all deserve a big congratulations for this huge work. Others at the Eurordis team, such as Paloma, Rare Disease International Senior Manager, has also closely followed the process of linking rare diseases issues to sustainable development goals and of the development of the committee's mining vision, bringing in our international and social perspectives, respectively. And Maria has been a part of this process as well, supporting Agranska and Eurordis with her knowledge and expertise on social disability issues and in international organizations. It was a wonderful teamwork and global gathering. A historical day indeed, and as many patients mentioned, this was a unique moment for all of us. Wishing you all a lovely day, I am Dan Alexandru Tiberio, and I will meet you next week at the Planet of Rare Diseases.
Ascultă Radio Noro, vocea pacienților.